Left off at Hosea chapter, actually in the English Bible, what is Hosea chapter 1 verse 9. In our English Bibles, Hosea chapter 1 verse 10 is actually chapter 2 verse 1 in the Hebrew Bible. So in the Hebrew Bible, it's only 9 verses long, the first chapter, and the second chapter begins at Hosea 1 10. And so we're going to take Hosea 1 10 through the end of chapter 2 as all of one chapter as it is in the Hebrew Bible. Hosea, as we shared last week, Hosea prophesied after the dividing of Israel, the Jewish people, in 931 BC after Solomon died. There was a civil war that broke out over who was going to be king. And 10 tribes went to the north, 2 tribes stayed to the south. And there was a division amongst the children of Israel. In the northern section known as Israel, southern section known as Judah, but the northern section known as Israel, Hosea prophesied between 755 and 715 B.C., along with Amos, while Micah and Isaiah were prophesying in the south, in Judah. But what was interesting is Hosea, his name means salvation. Hosea, salvation. And the Lord came upon him in verse 2 and spoke to him and spoke in Hosea and told him to take for himself a wife of prostitution and bear children of prostitution, because the land has committed great harlotry in departing from following after Yahweh. So he went and took Gomer. Gomer means to bring to completion or accomplishment. That's what her name means. And she conceived and bore him a son, and his name was Jezreel, because God said that he was going to take vengeance on what Jehu did, and he was going to take vengeance in the valley of Jezreel. Again, she conceived and bore a daughter. The daughter's name was Lo-Ruhamah, which means no mercy. He says, I will not have mercy on my people. She, after she weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. And then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, Lo being the Hebrew word for no or not, and Ami is the word for people. You are not my people, and I will not be your God. But now as we start chapter 2, verse 1, which is actually chapter 1, verse 10 in the English Bibles, yet the number of the children or sons of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which shall be as which cannot be measured or numbered, literally numbered or written down. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, that it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Now in the English text, you notice italics, it says you are. It's literally, these are titles. That at one time, their title was not my people. But now their title would be sons of the living God. So it is interesting, he called them, right? He called them, chose them, brought them as his people. They rebelled against him and played harlotry and adultery against him by going out into the world. So he basically, as we will see as we go through Hosea, he basically divorced them and then later took them back. He purchased them from out of the marketplace of sin. And we'll see how that develops as we go on. So he first of all casts them away and says, you are not my people. But he says, in place of that, later on, the title will be my people. So he's going to take them back. Verse 11, then the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head. And they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say to your brethren, this is English Bible, chapter 2, verse 1. Say to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, Ruhama, where it says mercy is shown, where he said Lo Ruhama, he says, now say to your brethren, my people, that's their title, and to your sisters, mercy, instead of no mercy. Now he says, tell them you are called mercy. He says, bring charges against your mother, bring charges. For she is not my wife, nor am I her husband. Let her put away her harlotries from her sight, for her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and expose her in the day she was born, as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. So the call of God was to come out, stop playing the role of the harlotry, the adulteress, or else God was going to bring judgment. And that's exactly what he did when he came and said, you are not my people. We will see next time as we begin chapter 3 that Hosea is going to set her out because she would not stop her prostitute ways. He set her out. She took off. She wanted to be with her lovers. Her lovers, because of what the lovers could provide for her. And then her lovers got rid of her when they didn't want her anymore. And then she realized that back with Hosea, it was better than with the people she was with. And so she sold herself as a slave down in the marketplace. And who should purchase her but Hosea himself? Which was all a picture of God's love and God's call for salvation. The Jews, he has called his people to be their people. They rebelled. He lets them go. He divorces Israel so that they can go and feast on the things of the world, as it says in the Psalms, that God gave them the desires of their heart but sent leanness to their soul. As a person complains long enough to the Lord, he lets you go. He lets you go after what you want. But it's leanness to the soul. You can't do both. You can't satisfy the soul and satisfy the flesh at the same time. God will let you go. He let his people go, but he sent leanness to their soul. And when they repented and wanted him back, he purchased them. It's kind of interesting. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, a good example of the word redemption. It means to purchase from out of the marketplace. To purchase the slaves from out of the marketplace. What God did with us is we're in the marketplace of sin. God walked through the marketplace, saw us, and says, and purchased us. We were enslaved to sin, but he purchased us from our owners, which was sin, and God purchased us and made us his own. That's a perfect example of salvation, and the salvation process is that just because we're born in America here doesn't mean that we're born Christians. We were born in sin and into sin. Before the Lord saved us, we were sinners. We were in the marketplace of sin. And it's a beautiful picture of the fact that we didn't choose him. He chose us. He went to the marketplace and purchased us from out of the marketplace of sin. And yet we still, as claiming to be God's people, we still pine away to get back out into the world. He purchased us from that. And it is interesting. This entire process is what we're studying here. So bring charges, God says to the prophets, against this woman. She is not my wife. I am not her husband. Put her away, lest I strip her naked. Of course, when we get into chapter 3, we'll see that she did not stop her prostitution and her harlotry, even though she was married to Hosea. And it is interesting, the church today in the New Testament, we're called the Bride of Christ. We had an elderly couple that were just real good friends of ours, and she had her husband died, and just really examples to us as what it was like, what it's like to follow the Lord and how people should live. Well, when her husband died, she grieved that she was alone, but she says, you know, I'm really not alone, is that the Bible says I'm married to the Lord. He's my husband. And so she continued on serving the Lord, even though she missed her husband, but she But what was interesting is that that's what gave her the encouragement to move on, is that she was alone, humanly speaking, but spiritually, she was still married to Christ. And it is interesting here, this is this whole picture of salvation through the book of Hosea, entitled Salvation. He says, verse 4, I will not have mercy on her children, for they are the children of harlotry. So here's where the sins of the parents visit the children. The children were born from out of harlotry and prostitution. For their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers who gave me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. And so she says, I want to go where my lovers are, where they provided the bread and the food and all the things for me. The thing is, they provided it for her because of her exchanging her sexual pleasures to them. But then when they got through with her, they just threw her away, and she lost her bread and her drink and all the things that went with it, and she realized that what she had done. Verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in, so that she cannot find her paths. Interesting, Hosea tried to stop his wife from continuing to play the role of the harlot or the prostitute. He did everything possible to try to keep her from getting out of the house, from doing these things. She found ways to do it. She will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better for me than now. For she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. So basically what she was doing, and picture that this is an example of what's going on with Israel and the Lord, is that she was taking the provision from Hosea and going down to the temple area and giving it to Baal worship, and giving her body to Baal worship to the people who were there. But for her personally, she took the material goods from the people that she was committing prostitution with. So Hosea says, as God says to Israel, you didn't know that I provided for you, but you misused that. You gave it to Baal. And your provision came from the people that you prostituted yourself with. Verse 9, therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time, my new wine in its season. I will take back my wool and my linen given to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness, literally her private parts, in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause all her mirth, that is her merriment, cheerfulness, to cease. Her feast days, and what was interesting too, is that Israel still celebrated the feasts. Much like people today would go to church at Christmas and go to church at Easter, just for the sake of celebrating the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Christ by going to church. He said, I'm going to cause her merriment to cease, her feast days to cease, her new moons, her Sabbaths, all her appointed feasts are going to stop. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she has said, these are my wages that my lovers have given me, so I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she burned incense. See, she's a Baal worshiper. She decked herself with her earrings and her jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, says Yahweh. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. So now he's picturing that after judgment comes upon Israel, just like judgment's going to come upon Gomer, for what she's about to do, that is, continue her prostitution, is that God is going to allure her, Israel, in the wilderness and draw Israel back to Him and restore to her all the things that He has given her, because He's going to allow her to go through the process. God's saying, I've provided for you, like out in the wilderness. God provided for Israel manna every day. They didn't have to worry about food. And they had manna every day. Their clothes and their shoes did not wear out. They had no need. God provided for them every step of the way. While their flesh was thirsting for the things back in Egypt. Well, back in Egypt, in the world, we had it better than we did following the Lord. Back in Egypt, we had the melons and the cucumbers and the onions and all the delicacies. Even though we were enslaved to Egypt, we had in the material world, we had it pretty good. But following the Lord, He supplies for us, but that's about it. And we're out here in this desert. And so they began to complain and murmur against God continuously until He caused them to die in the wilderness. And what is interesting here is that God's going to allure her. God's going to allow Israel to go ahead and go after the things of the world that you love. And then once the world is through with you and it spits you out and you see the consequences for what you've done, then you will want to return to the Lord. That even though materially speaking, it is not as much as what Satan can give you from the world, yet spiritually speaking, it's better off. And that's how God works. That if you pine long enough for the things of the world, He'll let you have it and go after it, but you also suffer the consequences. And His Spirit comes to allure you back, as in the times when you came up from the land of Egypt, which is a picture, of course, of salvation. Verse 16. And it shall be in that day, says Yahweh, that they will call me my husband, Ish in the Hebrew, and no longer call me my master. Now the term master or lord, depending on what translation you have, is the word Baal. That's what Baal means. It means lord or master in the heathen religions. And so basically, this is a real good text to use with the people that say, well, you Christians worship God, and you call Him Jesus. Well, we worship God and we call Him Buddha. Or we call Him whatever name that religious system has. We call Him... He's called various names in various religions. But the Lord says, I only have one name. And you're no longer going to call me Baal, Lord in another language. You're going to call me my husband. He says, verse 17, for I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals. There are various lords within the Baal worship system. And they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them. Verse 18 is now talking about this millennium rule and reign where God is making a covenant. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, with the creeping things of the ground, bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. So no more violence, no more danger to God's people. I will betroth you, that is, give you over as engagement to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know Yahweh. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says Yahweh. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Remember, Jezreel means to scatter a seed. So in this sense, it's going to come to pass again that after God's judgment, and God draws the people back together again as more than you can number, that what the text says is that the seed of grain and the harvest seeds are going to be scattered again, and it's going to produce. So once when Jezreel meant to scatter, as in judgment, now Jezreel is going to mean to scatter the seed of harvest and for plenty again. Then I will sow her, that's the play on the word Jezreel, I will sow her for myself in the earth. I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. That's lo ruchama and ruchama. Then I will say to those who were not my people, that's lo Amy, you are my people, Amy. And they shall say, you are my God. And notice the terms you are is in italics. They're just going to say, my God. Much like 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, Lord Jesus. Not Jesus is Lord, it's literally Lord Jesus. What is interesting here is that they're going to call upon him personally. They're going to say, my God, and he's going to say, my people. And that's not going to happen, of course, until after the second coming of Christ, during the millennium reign, second coming of Christ. That is when Jesus is going to restore the Israelites, the Jewish people, back to their God. Right now they are in under judgment. There are some Jews being saved, but the entire fulfillment of bringing the Jews back to their land and giving them the boundaries in the land in which God had prophesied is not going to happen until the second coming of Christ after the tribulation period. So it is interesting just to understand and see the mind and heart of God as he looks at a people who he calls out to be his people. They say, their response is, okay, you've called us out and you've given us this law to follow and we don't want to. And you made us your people. So as they continued on, they went out into the world and chased after the things. Hi, good morning. Chased after the things that God said not to go after. And so God basically, as through the prophet Hosea, God basically divorced them, divorced Israel, gave them over to the things of the world that they wanted. And then later on, when just as the harlot or prostitute Gomer wound up on the slave market as a consequence for all of her sins, God came back to Israel when they were on the slave market of sin and purchased them back through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So it's really supposed to show the entire salvation process. But the fascinating thing about it is that God would take Hosea the prophet and he would tell his prophet, Hosea means salvation, to go and marry a wife of the prostitutes so that he could show in social demonstration form what God goes through with his people. Yes?
Back at verse 11, this is...
2:11?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I will cause all her vertices and her new moons, all that stuff, is that what they're going through now by not having their temple and all that?
That's correct. Yes, that's removed, but that is going to be restored at the second coming of Christ.
They still celebrate on their own there.
Okay, I've gone to temple and talked to them about that as to why they still celebrate on feast days, but they don't celebrate it according to as God prescribed in the Torah, the law, or in the other portions of the old covenant, the Tanakh. And they said it's basically cultural. You can't point to script. Scripture gives us the basis for what we do, but our celebration of the feast now is cultural. Because I asked them, why don't you sacrifice anymore? That's what the law says to do. And of course, Jesus said it would be judgment against them for rejecting him, that he would stop all the sacrifices. Of course, 70 AD, Titus the Roman general came into Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. And since that time, they have not sacrificed. But yet the law says to do that. But they have not, because the temple was destroyed and has never been rebuilt. So I asked them, I said, well, if you celebrate the feast days and you follow the Torah, the law, why do you not sacrifice? And they said, well, we just do good works. in substitution. Because it's not so much a religious thing as much as it is religious and cultural. It's part of our culture. That's what we celebrate. So, very interesting. All right, let's close with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and your word, and we just pray that you'd bless our hearts to see the love of God, to see that we too have been called by you. You sent your Son to die for us, but we too have wanted what the world has wanted, and we see a broken heart, the broken heart of God. We just thank you for the depths of your love that will allow us to suffer the consequences for our sins, but the love that you have for us to draw us back, to draw us to yourself and restore us after we've suffered the consequences for those sins, and how faithful you are. We just thank you for this great message from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.